views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Tim Darter, and today we're going to be speaking on battleground states and the inner conflict between our personality and our soul. And joining us is Sarah Traub. We're excited to have her. She's coming to us from Toronto, Canada. And she's, for over 30 years, she's been an educator, an author, and counselor on practical spirituality.
Sarah, it's so great to be with you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's always wonderful to speak to you guys. So thank you for having me.
We're really excited to have this conversation because it fits so perfectly with what we're trying to do with Spirit Fire Radio. You know, we base this show on the practice of living awareness, which is Spirit Fire's meditation practice. And our goal is to show people what kind of tools they can use to sort of take what they're learning in meditation off of the cushion and apply it to their everyday lives. And so, you know, it's practice. That word practice is making it practical. How do we practice this in our everyday lives? So when I hear that you are a teacher of practical spirituality, I think, and I know you are, I think, hooray. And so, Sarah, I'd just love to hear in your words, what does this mean, practical spirituality?
That's a good question, because quite often when we think of spirituality and people say, I'm a very spiritual person, because they read spiritual books or they tune into Maharishi's quotes or things like that. But to live in a practical way where we bring spirit into our lives requires a greater tuning into our sense of authentic selves. And in this day and age, with the bombardment of so much out there, it becomes challenging. You know, we're challenged by so many things that keep us very excited and just reaching for the next thing, the desires that we have, and we actually forget to tune into what's going on inside of us. So learning how to tune in, and certainly meditation is one way par excellence to do that, brings us closer to our true nature, who we really are. So that's one great way, and I'm glad that that's so available. It's becoming to be so available in many venues, and certainly through the retreat center, and what you offer is very there if people want it.
Totally. I love that you said, I feel I'm a spiritual person. And so that brings me into this word person, keys, personality. A few weeks ago, we had William Meter on the show, and he was talking to us quite a bit about the soul. It was a very sort of esoteric radio show, and we were talking about the construct of the soul and really what is this thing called the soul and what is its purpose. And towards the end, we got into ways to bring the soul into our lives. And so, again, we got a bit into the practical spirituality. And when we are trying to do that, when we're trying to bring a spirituality into our lives, we sort of bump up against this thing called our ego. We bump up against this, our personality. You know, I am a spiritual person. There's sort of a taking a stance. And so we often will get in conversations to the listeners before the show just to sort of get a feel for what the show is going to be about. And Sarah said, you know, that this battleground exists within ourselves. And you were saying earlier that, you know, how acute it depends on how acutely we live this battleground consciousness has to do with how aware we are. So we called this show Battleground States, and it's really about a state of mind or a state of being, and so much of that depends on our relationship to our personality, right?
No question. And if we consider the word personality, it comes from the Greek persona, and persona is mask. And unfortunately, we identify as personalities, but from the truest perspective, that's not who we are. That's really how we manifest or move in the world, and that's often how people identify us and we identify with ourselves. But what is this mask hiding? And we can use the word soul. Quite often the word soul, it feels pretty far away. It feels very transcendent. It feels religious. But it's as close as this silent voice that's within us, the voice of the silence, as it is called, or the one that's tapping you on the shoulder, that's actually giving you a direction or a hint of what your next step should be. And I think we've all experienced that. We can call it the place or the source of our inner wisdom. And that's that place inside of us that we know is absolutely 100% out for our better interests. It is our source of true guidance. And we can lean into it completely with total trust, because it won't lead us astray. And that's that inner voice that we can call the soul. And that's our place of true conscience, of consciousness. And it always looks out for not only our better interests, but also of the greater good. So we can look at this battleground that we speak of as a Star Wars scenario, in a way, where it's between good and evil, white and black. I mean, it's not as simple as that, but we can think of the personality that feels insecure, lives from the perspective of scarcity, and so it's needy and it always wants to take, whereas the inner part of us is looking to take care of the bigger picture. And so it's not needy at all. Its desire is to give, if we can call it a desire. So there's always this battleground going on inside of us if we've learned to tune in. Now, what side, what posture, how is it that we choose to stand? Do we choose to stand in a place where we are listening to our source of true guidance, or is it that we choose to ignore it and move with our very superficial desires that will satisfy us for the moment?
Yeah, and sort of satisfy really our self. You know, it's what sort of makes us selfish. And you said so many juicy, juicy things. I look so forward to this conversation because I love that you said you referred to it as inner, you know, and the word esoteric really does mean innermost. And I want to talk a bit about the mask as well. You mentioned a mask, and you mean when you say the mask, that is the personality, yeah.
Absolutely. That's the personality. And we actually forget that the personality is the hands, the feet, and all of the senses through which our inner self, our authentic self, the soul, can move through. It's absolutely and 100% necessary for the soul to really make a difference in one's life. But unless you get it, you're not going to be listening to the real kahuna. You're going to think as a personality, you are it.
Yeah. And, you know, you think of when you look at a mask, really, where are the holes in most masks are really in the eyes. It's kind of like the eyes, you know, being sort of the window to the soul. And when you mention Star Wars, I think of so many masks, and you think of so many characters that really your first impression of these characters is, what is the sort of mask that they're wearing? What's the helmet they're wearing? What's the disguise? You know, sort of what is our first impression based on how sort of interesting and unique and individual they look? So I find it interesting that we've all got this mask, but it doesn't really necessarily show exactly who we are, that it's this sort of vehicle, that there's something underneath driving it. But the mask can really just be center stage. So I look so forward to it. We're going to go to a break. And Sarah, when we get back, we'll talk more about this thing called the personality and how it can create these inner-outer battles constantly. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio, where today we're talking with Sarah Traub about our inner battlegrounds.
Battlegrounds, yes. Before we took a break, we were talking about Star Wars, which is great. And I think we're going to actually get to the Force eventually. But we were talking about the masks we wear and the personality and ways in which we can sometimes only think that that's our true selves, you know, that beyond our sort of stormtrooper mask, we're nothing but the stormtrooper. So, Sarah, would you like to just tell us a little bit, what does this mask do and how does it create problems?
Well, you know, during the break, what I was thinking about is that, and we've all experienced this, that we wear different hats for different situations. And these hats are designed for us to meet the need of whatever is required of us. But what underlies all of that is really the same essence of who we are. The driver, our source of guidance, our inner wisdom that drives us to manifest the way that we do. And why do we do that? Because I think basically as personas, as egos, as psychology calls it, feels basically insecure. So the sense that we have is that we need to feel whole. And by feeling whole, what we do is we take as much as we can, which is a very selfish orientation, really. But it's necessary until the persona, the ego, comes to learn that it is not the big kahuna, that it is actually the servant for the source of our true guidance. It is the hands and feet and all of the senses that the soul requires in order to live life, so that the soul can be the creative impulse in the world to make goodness manifest.
And so how do we know if actually we're not tapping into that inner wisdom? How does that sort of display in our lives if we're not really following that inner source? You know, if we're just switching hats when it's appropriate for us, and maybe our motives are a little bit too selfish or not, we don't know it. Well, how does that display? How do we know when actually we've actually tapped into that inner wisdom?
I think that's a very good question. And I think that has so much to do with what I ask myself often the question, how does it serve?
Yes.
Who does it serve? And so if it serves myself, then we know that it's not a source of greater wisdom. That's one way. The other way is there a feeling of contraction or is there a feeling of expansion? And often there's an association with a relationship with the heart that is related to soul or our sense of guidance. So once again, it's always about tuning in.
Right.
And we're, as a society, have been trained not to tune in. We've been trained to be distracted. Distraction leads to consuming, to keeping us from getting bored. It's a training, and that's why meditation seems to be such a new thing for people, and they can't seem to get their head around it. You know, this sense of stillness that is a practice that is so necessary in order to know what actually makes sense, what is the right thing to do.
I also think that what's interesting about meditation is it asks us to observe ourselves outside of ourselves. You know, we're so used to being so in the game that as soon as we have to remove ourselves from the game, the first question is, why would I want to do that? Because we're always sort of, you know, we've always got this stance. We've always got my stance. And when I asked you that question, how do we know? I was sort of like being tricky because, you know, I would say we create battles all the time. We're sort of in that battleground state is kind of a good meter to know whether we're aligned with soul or not. I appreciate that you brought it around to it always comes really back to the heart and am I serving? Because if you're serving and then if you're in the heart, it can be incredibly selfish, but maybe it's for the greater good. And then actually you are being of great service. You know, you are sort of the driver driving for the big kahuna. But if you think you're the big kahuna and that's it, you know, then really basically you're going to create reaction from other people. You know, if we kind of operate in the world, I would say as, you know, it's all about me, you basically put an energetic out that other people are going to give you the reflection that it's all about them. And immediately a battleground will ensue. So I think kind of a good litmus test to looking around as to how much soul do I have infused in my life is, well, how many battles are going on? You know, and sometimes those battles, I guess, are inner battles, they're outer battles. I guess we could certainly tap into our emotions. Yeah, I mean, our emotions could really tell us quite a bit about that.
I agree completely. There's a real litmus test as to how we project in the world. And, you know, on one level, it may sound very goody-two-shoes, but the fact is that if we tune into our own source of inner wisdom to soul, we actually have the opportunity to be happier people. And that's really what it's about. Once we're happier, the people around us are happier, and we can live a more contented life. So battling is a very good litmus test to know whether or not you're on track.
Yeah.
Now, some people don't have a battle at all because they're really selfish and there hasn't been a development of that inner conscience. It starts with conscience where you know that you should be doing the right thing or you should be behaving in a particular way, but you choose not to because the moment serves you better to do something that is self-serving. But that ultimately starts through the evolutionary process to develop into consciousness. And ultimately, we have fewer battles because we recognize that doing the right thing is going to make us happier.
So when you say that somebody who these are my words. When somebody who's sort of an egomaniac or it's really in it for themselves, you say they may not experience battles. I kind of get what you're saying. You're saying in a sense that they're so in it for their own needs, they might just have it down. I mean, they might just have getting their own way down to a science. Do you think that's possible without anybody else getting hurt?
Oh, everybody will get hurt. There's no question. They may not get hurt because they haven't developed that soft spot. They haven't developed the ability to be reflective and to have that staging for that battleground to even begin to take place. But they'll create chaos everywhere they go, and they won't even care.
They'll just win the battles. That's all, right?
That's right. That's right. And so people like that aren't even going to be interested in what you offer, the program that, you know, we're on right now, because they won't even notice that there's a need for it. They'll say to themselves, you know, I got this handled. I know where I'm at, and I'm doing whatever I need to do in order to not only survive, but to thrive. And that's a necessary stage of the evolutionary path.
Totally.
But once the battle begins, the battle gets more acute until it lessens, but it lessens on the other side.
You know, I can't help but think of the political process we're going through right now. I mean, it's when you see people just vying for the spotlight and it being me, 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 for me reasons alone. You know, I want the spotlight. And we've watched in America during this election process that some of the conversations are so immature. I mean, really, it's just about me versus you and how am I better and you are worse. And you realize that it really could be about these are my ideas. These ideas could serve the greater good in this way. Do you align to these ideas? And in a true democracy, well, if everybody thinks that, let's give it a try and let's sort of see if we can all align to that idea because that might work. You can see that it could actually just be such a really gentle, peaceful, constructive, sort of like really nice process. But instead, we've just turned it into this really crazy, just egomaniacal, you know, it's just been about spotlight and me, and it looks very, very incredibly immature. So we're going to go to a break so that I don't get deeper into politics because I'm going to veer us off into a whole different ballgame. But more on the battlegrounds between personality and soul when we get back with Sarah Trout.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com. Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies harmonies other constructive healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I love that. I see your picture with your name and lights above it. Your name, you know, that makes me think of personality. That's what we're talking about. And lights above it. How can we bring the light that's above our personality in? It's so perfect. Brian, you're great. I love the music. So, Sarah, before we went to the break, we were talking about the personality and the soul. But I'd like to tell the listeners that, you know, this week we sort of always bring a guest on that we can be topical with the meditations at Spirit Fire. And this week in the practice, we're doing meditations that are related to heart, mind. And so we've talked a little bit, you know, and quite a bit on the show so far about ways to bring the soul in. And we talk about these sort of qualities of the heart, of openness, of universality, of it not being so much about me, but about group. And, you know, when we're not there, when we're not really in the heart, we're basically in our personality. And that really takes over. And you can sort of sense when we contract or when it's all about me, there's only the focus on myself. The lights above my name are, you know, not so high above. They're just right on me. So, Sarah, are there ways that we can sort of move that light up, that we can sort of take the spotlight somehow off of our personality, and ways that the personality doesn't have to lose itself and can still be a part of who we are and be more of the driver for the big picture?
Well, you know, the soul is always wanting to reach out to the personality. But if the personality shuts down that part of the light and doesn't tune in, the soul has no option but to wait in meditation deep until the personality reorients itself in some capacity. So we look at the large, big picture of the evolutionary path. And once that's done, and there has been a reorientation that takes place, it means that there has been a path established somewhat for the light to shine through into the personality. And then, of course, the personality forgets and starts to be distracted and moves out into the world and forgets that it actually does have a larger part that it needs to, you know, be the servant of. And so it can happen that in one's life that the soul will do a 2x4 over the head with the personality, and it will force that personality to arrest its errant behavior and just stop. Now, that can take its form in a divorce, a death, an accident, loss of a job, something major in the life that forces the personality to take stock and to recreate a new rhythm, a rhythm that is more aligned with listening to the soul. Now, if you haven't gone that far astray, then that 2x4 doesn't have to be huge. It can just be a whisper in one's ear. But if you've gone really far astray and there's this motion that is just so out of sync with the rhythm and the light of the soul, then the soul has to take some drastic measure. But it's all for the greater good. So quite often, as I do lectures, I know that this definitely happens to people. And so we know that, you know, I've spoken to cancer survivors that end up saying this was the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, how can cancer be the best thing that ever happened to me? Is because there's enough water under the bridge to look back and say, I'm a different person now. I live in greater light. I live in greater rhythm with my true, authentic self. And so my life is better as a result of this tragedy. And I think that the majority of people can say that for themselves if they are introspective enough and allow the goodness of the crisis to come through. Because from an esoteric perspective, we can always look at crisis not from that word, but crisis equals opportunity. And the opportunity is always great. The greater the 2x4, the greater the opportunity.
Well, I love that you say that this soul is in waiting and in meditation. And I had a bit of an aha moment when you said that, because there's a sort of coming homeness that happens when you've really practiced meditation and you're deep in meditation, not even deep in meditation, when you're just in meditation. Of course, it gets juicier when you're deep in meditation. But when we align ourselves through meditation, it feels like we're at one with the soul. So I sort of love that idea that we're sort of in the same practice for a moment. As we align ourselves, the soul is in waiting. And then through meditation, we can kind of find that common ground. I love that. And there is another analogy. As you're speaking, so many things are coming to my mind. I love Esther Hicks. You know, she's got this sort of metaphor that she uses all the time. And she'll say that, you know, we've got this cork, and she doesn't really put it in these words, but I see it that way, that the cork is who we are. It's our individuality. It's like there's this sea of sort of the soul or this sea of consciousness, and the cork just naturally floats along the top of the water, moving, and consciousness is always moving and expanding and changing. And if we want to do our own thing, we can pull that cork down below the water, but it takes force. It takes effort to sort of hold the cork down. And the more we want to be an individual, the more we've got to pull down deeper and deeper to be away from that sort of field of unified consciousness. And boy, when we let it go, the cork can just go flying right back up to the top. And I when you said the 2x4, I sort of saw that as that's something that will jolt us to let go of our sort of cork, and it will come back to the top. And the thing I find interesting is that once people see that, we go back to our own ways? You know, we sort of will then just start pulling the cork back down. So I'm sure you've seen that in people, Sarah, in that you've seen people sort of have an aha moment, but then they go back to these ways that are sort of not so conscious. What's that about? Is it just learning?
Well, you know, it is said that it takes a long time to spiritualize matter, and we're forgetful. And I think the analogy that you offered is wonderful, because what you're speaking of is control, and there's a lot of effort in control. The more we control our environment, the more secure we feel as personalities. But to actually let go of that is to actually trust that we're not in control, and that in truth, the soul is. And if we, and that's the expression, let go and let God. Well, what does that mean? We let go of control, and we let that greater aspect of our understanding to lead us with greater wisdom. And it won't be as hard. It'll be much easier. And I think that one other thing I want to mention is that we talked about taking a practical look, where it's not just meditation on the cushion, but to live a meditative attitude is one where we recognize that I am soul breathing, that I have a personality, but I truly am a soul. And every time we re-identify with that reality, then we are moving from a different place.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I would say that, you know, when I look at the – I love that you said let go and let God, and that I am soul breathing. Both of those, I'm soul breathing, is a beautiful affirmation. But when I look at the steps of the practice that have led us to heart mind, you know, the first one is smile. You know, are you embracing goodness? Can you possibly do that even just for a smile? It takes force to actually not smile. It actually takes effort to not smile in the face of somebody else who's smiling. The tip of the nose is sort of asking, where is my focus? Can I notice the usually not noticed? Am I opening to the subtle things in life? And then is flow. You know, it takes real force and resistance to sort of stop flow. Try to think of stopping the flow of water coming out of a hose. It takes resistance. That's a battle happening right there. And then we move on to soften, open, and receive. You know, can you soften? Can you be open? And release, goodness gracious, is that a huge one? You know, are you stuck? Are you stagnant? Can you just let go of battle? Can you let go of dis-ease? And can you basically just be in the moment? So I love this conversation in that it is showing us ways that we can be practical, not only within meditation. We've brought it up so many times, but also off the cushion. So just juicy, juicy, juicy stuff. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to have more on heart, mind, and the battleground states, how to avoid them.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vail, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everyone, meet my friends at the maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
I don't remember what day it was. I didn't know.
Spirit Fire Radio. And before we get back to talking with Sarah Traub about Battleground States, we want to let you know about a few fun things happening on Spirit Fire. Next week, we have a free online lecture on the evolution of consciousness, which is very apropos for what we're discussing today.
Totally.
That's next Tuesday on March 15th. And in regards to the practice of living awareness, which is our own meditation practice, we have a meditation retreat coming up in May that we're really excited about. That will teach anyone, beginner to advanced practitioner, on how to meditate.
Definitely. All of these steps we've been talking about within the practice, we're going to take them all into a meditation weekend. So I know for the New England listeners, come on up to Spirit Fire. It would be a great weekend to really dive into the practice of living awareness. And, you know, that the lecture next week is really on the consciousness of humanity. Like, what does it look like, our path of evolution? We've been talking with Sarah quite a bit about, you know, ways in which we can grow. How do we become the observer? How do we actually become more guided by our soul and have an easier life? Just things get easier when we're not really just always trying to make it about us. And that sort of process is not only a process for ourselves, but really it's a process for consciousness itself. It's a process within humanity as a whole. You know, humanity is evolving along with us, and we have to play our part. And that lecture is going to look at that. But Sarah, you know, we're in this, like, it's not only about us, right? It's really about the big picture, the greater whole. Us, not only so that we get along with others, but sometimes we need to look at humanity, you know, as a species and our place on Earth, yeah?
Absolutely. However, quite often we look at others and we don't tune into where we're at ourselves. So it needs to be both. And I think one of the important things that you mentioned, and I think it's a tremendous tool, is really getting in touch with your inner observer. I think it's the observer that allows us to see where we're coming from. It allows us to see a bigger picture, and it teaches us so much about ourselves and the environment that we find ourselves in. I think that that is a way in that has worked so well for everybody I know. And I think all traditions speak eventually about the observer self. So it's just a very simple thing. You just say, observer, be with me. And so there's this this ability to have two things going on at the same time. You some people notice it as part of yourself being on your shoulder or floating above your head, and you just observe what's going on. And this way you become more objective. You can short circuit maybe a reactionary response that you might have that is really not as kind as you would want it to be if you were you were really being responsive instead of reactionary. So it's a very practical tool that I invite everybody to practice. And if you forget, you've got the next 5 minutes to practice it, or the next 5 minutes after that. It's a constant thing.
That's great. That I love that. That couldn't be more true. And right there, it's like, just let it go. You've got the next 5 minutes to try this. I know one tool that used to help me, especially when I was starting to meditate, is I was often feeling like I was standing in a stream up to my waist. And everybody knows what, well, I don't know if everybody's been in a stream up to their waist, but I actually literally have. And, you know, water coming down at you, and a branch comes by and it hits you. You're slipping on a rock. You know, it's like sometimes life feels like it's just coming at you. You are in the flow of it, but you've got this resistance. And I'm going to, like, sidetrack a little bit. I found it so interesting as we've been talking about Battleground. We started the conversation and you talked about life bombarding us. And so interesting how language, you know, becomes a part of sort of observing when we're using language that feels kind and gentle, and also language that is about battle or force or resistance. You know, when those words are sort of in our conversation, or we would frame them in our mind, probably there's a little bit of personality going on. But back to what I was saying about the stream, I used to just try to kind of get out of the stream and try to picture myself on the side of the bank watching the water go by. Anytime I felt like my emotions were getting the better of me, I would feel in my body, well, these emotions are really feel like they're just like a river just washing over me. And I would imagine myself sort of getting out of the water, going on to the riverbanks, and just observing what was happening in that stream. You know, I found that to be a very useful tool because, boy, can emotions give us a lot of information, huh? Like, is a situation good for us? Is it for our betterment? Or is it going to cause a reaction from someone else? That's a pretty big part, yeah?
Oh, I think what you mentioned is very important because what emotions allow us to do, which most of us don't, when we have a negative emotion, what we often do is try to repress it, or we try to substitute it with something else. And we don't actually let that emotion, which is a dangling participle in a sense, just have its way. We have that negative emotion, and like a cloud, it comes and it goes, and it doesn't land anywhere. But if we try to suppress it, if we try to get on top of it or substitute it with something else, that emotion does emotion. You know, it needs to move. It doesn't have an opportunity to move out of the system. And so it lands somewhere, and it gets kicked upstairs into our mind, and then we have a negative thought. Or we have a negative story, and this is how things get complexified and get muddied, and there isn't clarity of thought because it's our emotions that have created this percolating negative thought forms that we have. But if we allow an emotion to be without any thoughts around it, it comes, it goes, and it's done. And that's such a it's such a training to do that because we don't know how to do that. We have an emotion, ooh, that's yucky. I don't want to feel it. We repress it, and it doesn't go away. It's there, and it somehow manifests in another form.
Or I find that it can actually become who we are. You know, we can just become our emotions if we don't repress them or sort of overanalyze them, and they become thought forms and we stick them on a shelf because that form's really easy to put on a shelf. You know, they become us. And I love, you know, this us constantly coming back to the observer, because if we can just observe the emotion, we can actually let it happen. It actually gives us a lot of information. It gives us a lot of information about situations where we were out of alignment, where we were pulled out of alignment. It's like that cork. We had to pull the cork the whole way down. If we can observe what did that to us, we actually can find ease. And from a place of ease, we can then observe, we can then sort of align ourselves with the soul. It wants it to be easier. It certainly wants to hit us, as you said earlier, with a 2x4 when we need to learn a lesson. But you know, as we can observe, as we can move back, we really, really can sort of bring a greater ease into our lives and find that we're working with others so beautifully, and every day becomes a joy. Every day becomes a treat.
And, you know, what came to mind is what we resist persists. And so if we resist what wants to just gently move through us, it will persist and make its presence known in another way. So we just need to be in greater flow with what wants to happen in our lives.
Totally. And just try to let go of the battles. You know, absolutely. And it's what I loved about this conversation is we weren't so much like poo-pooing on the battleground. They're there and they're necessary and it serves a purpose. And it's for us to see the battlegrounds that we've created, the ways that our personality is really just taking the spotlight. Can we ease up on that a little bit? Can we just try to find some greater ease in ourselves? It's been great talking to you, Sarah. I love that we've just talked so much about meditation and words of wisdom from you always.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you so much. I'll come back anytime.
Oh, good. We'll definitely have you back. Sarah Traub, Tim, it's been great to be with you as well, and all the listeners. So yes. SpiritFire.com and SpiritFireRadio.com. Listen to the show. See what we've got coming up. It's been great to be with you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit SpiritFireRadio.com.